Okay, that's enough. Rowdy children's pastors. Gotta love them. Well, good morning. This day has come right on time, I believe. Some months ago, Pastor Baker had asked me once, twice, three times, four times, would you like to speak in chapel? And once, twice, three times, four times, maybe a few more, I said, thank you, I don't think it's the right time. Now, that's kind of out of character, but it was the right thing to do. So I feel like I have something for us today that is going to not just be one more chapel service, not just one more sermon, not just one more time to sit in a comfortable building. But I think that we have some issues here that this is the right time for them. I do appreciate Pastor Baker for your indulgence. Not indulgence, what's the right word? Patience. You're a man of great patience. Yes, my hair, your hair, it all goes together. It's fine. And I'd like to recognize all the children's ministry majors that could be here. And these are, if you're a youth pastor, wanting to be a youth pastor, these are the people to talk to. Because they're going to be pushing people your way. So you want to make friends with them. And there are a lot of other friends here that I'm very happy to have. But one in particular is my girlfriend, who is also my wife, Myra. Stand up. years we've been married, and this is as good as it gets, folks, so for me. Yes. Well, let's get right into it, shall we? I found online, of course, where you can find everything in the world that you want to know online, George Barna poll that indicated that at least 12% of adults, now think, your Bible college students, at least 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Another survey, gets better. Another survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. A considerable number of respondents to another poll indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. We have a lot of work to do, don't we? We have a lot of work to do. But along the way, as we look at the scriptures, we see that they're working out of our faith, the deliberate pushing ahead despite all obstacles is not an easy process. So I'd like for us to take kind of a survey look of key people in the scriptures. You've already heard the stories and those sorts of things, but I'd like for us to take another little look at them. For instance, Daniel is one of my heroes, I think, in a big way, because Daniel kept his testimony. You and I must always keep our testimony. And the frailties of the flesh and those sorts of things tend to rob us from some of God's blessings sometimes, but we need to keep steady and stay on course. Daniel gives me encouragement because Daniel is a book who that is assures us of God's, that God is in control. Daniel was born out of tribulation, uncertainty. But the one thing that really strikes me about Daniel is a little stint in the lion's den. You probably already know, but just as a reminder, that going into the lion's den was not a trip to the zoo. You were put into a pit, sealed up, that was it, right? No more riding home, that's it, you're done. Well, Daniel, when the, and you've probably recognized the story, when the gatekeeper, when they came to check on Daniel the next day, the king, what was Daniel's response? Everything's fine, just kind of chilling out here with the lions. Not a problem. The sermon of this, the title of this sermon is Faith on Hold. If you are in a spot, if you are in a circumstance, and it looks like there is nothing that can be done to remedy your circumstance, your dilemma, God always has a way. You and I have to be careful that our faith does not go on hold. It must be an active, it must be a living faith. And so, in the lion's den, what are you going to do? And I pose these questions sometimes in the classroom. What are you going to do when everybody else is against you? What are you going to do when it seems like there is no way out? What are you going to do when every last person you thought was going to come to your assistance just evaporates? Daniel had a firm belief in his God, in his faith. And Daniel is a book of encouragement for those who want to be assured that God is in control. I would like to stand here and tell you that everything is going to be fine for you, that everybody will like you and send you greetings, but it's not going to be that way. But you and I have to push through those other things, those other issues. Our faith cannot be put on hold. And you know what? That happened to me. Some of the stories that I tell in class. One is that when I was 16, 17 years old and I knew everything, I left and I moved to New Orleans and lived in New Orleans for a while, where I frequented the French Quarter and other sordid places at that time. And all the time that I was down there and getting into things that I should not have gotten into, including the voodoo culture, I heard the voice of God say, "You need to get out of here. You don't belong here." And I neglected and ignored all of those warnings. It got me into some trouble, got me out of some trouble, but I put my faith on hold. And for 13 years, I ran away from God, not apologetic about it, not regretting anything about it, thought I was having the time of my life. And can I tell you, I'm not wishing you ill, but sooner or later, there's going to be a time when you are going to feel like everybody has sent you into the lion's den. And they've shut the door, which the door was a fairly large stone. But on the other side of it, if you keep your faith, God is going to deliver you. Do you believe that? It sounds good for a Sunday school lesson. It sounds good for a sermon. But do you really believe that? Because the little statistics here from the Barna poll tells us we're not going into a church-friendly environment. You have to come to terms with the deal that not everybody is going to be your friend. Not everybody is going to like you or me. Now, some of the people that I encounter don't always want to hear the gospel. Well, I'm not going to push it for them because I know how it was when people pushed it to me. But you and I have to keep our perspective. Daniel had three, for lack of a better term, did nots. He did not try to escape the consequences of his decision to obey God. Don't you run out on God. He is going to pursue you. He will chase you. He will do everything because of his love for you. But don't. He did not run away from God. He did not know what would happen. And this is the really difficult part. What do you do when it seems like all the options have been exhausted? What do you do when you go into the hospital room? Or when you go into the funeral home? Or when you go into any other different circumstances? Homes where the home life is shattered. And what are you going to do when you go into those areas? You're not here just to get an education. You're here to be representatives of God. So Daniel did not escape the consequences. He knew what would happen. And when the day came, what was the response? O king, we are fine. Everything lends together. He was a dreamer, a prophet, a visionary, the one who saw the four beasts and the Ancient of Days. Daniel took the risk. Daniel made things happen. He did not put his faith on hold. You can do that. You can do that. You're going into a very difficult society, and you can do that. We're depending on you. Some of us have cycled out of the church world as far as full-time ministry. You're going right into that. Don't you let God down. Don't you let anyone else down. But there are other circumstances that we need to look to as well. There was a little time when it came time to cross the Jordan. Now, do you remember the story about the Jordan, right? Right, that's okay, good. Because we all went to Sunday school and we all had a children's pastor who could tell you, okay. No more commercials. Going through the Jordan. Now, this is where it gets a little bit bizarre. Because when the times got tough, that's when we find ourselves at the brink of the Jordan. Now, tell me about the Jordan. It's at flood stage. There isn't any room around to move. And so, depending on the nature of the day or things, you know, generations, they were okay with this, they weren't okay with this, but the time came when they had to go across the Jordan. When that day came, somebody had to put their foot in the water first. Who in here is going to be that person? When somebody else says, I don't know what to do, I'm out of options, I don't have any idea what I should do, you're going to have to be that type of person. Now, who's going to be first to stick their foot in the water? Can you do that? The answer is yes, you can do that. Your faith cannot be put on hold. And in fact, that is the title of the sermon, Putting Your Faith on Hold. You can't afford to do that. There are other people, if you want to do that for yourself, that's fine, and lose out on blessings from God, but you cannot do that when you are in charge of a congregation. what happened when they put their foot in the water? Because God had already said, go across the Jordan. It took one step and the waters parted. Now, I'm from South Louisiana, and we know a little bit about floods. We know a little bit about rising tides. We know a little bit about, well, it's a good time to catch fish and crawfish and things like that too, but alligator. But anyway, somebody had to put their foot into the river to see the miracle happen. You are going to have to help people understand that sometimes it's not an easy process. And sometimes you're going to be standing by yourself. No one is going to be supporting you. Nobody's going to. But when you take that first step into the waters will part. Do you believe that? Because those days are coming. I'm not wishing ill on you, but I'm just telling you this is the way it is. You are here at a single-purpose ministry training institution. And you and I have higher standards than the rest of the population. That doesn't mean we're better than anybody else, but it does mean that you and I are living under an accountability structure where we have to take the risks sometimes, even if nobody else is following you. And exactly what God said would do, would happen, did happen. Now, this isn't just a little brook. It's a river. It's a bunch of water. And the Bible says, what does the Bible say? Tell me. Okay, I heard somebody say it. It was at flood stage, and the waters pulled back. But you know what? Somebody had to stick their foot in the water in the first place. You cannot let your faith stay on hold. You must have an active faith as you go through CBC, as you graduate and move out into ministry. Somebody is going to be looking for you to be the one who will take the lead. Don't miss that opportunity. Does that make sense? Could you stick your foot in that water knowing that everybody else? Would you go into the hospital room when nobody else would go? Would you go into a difficult meeting when nobody else will go, knowing that God is going to be on your side every single step of the way? That's the people he's looking for. So Daniel gives us an understanding about that. They were crossing the Jordan River, and everything was just proceeding to plan. But now, what about Jericho? That's kind of a different circumstance, isn't it? To march around a place so many times and then to shout. Again, somebody has to do that. But it wasn't just one person this time. It was the whole group of people. Are you somebody who is ready and willing to lead a group of people? Help them become a cohesive entity so that they can tear down the strongholds that are in place wherever you find yourself. Leaders do that. Leaders take the risks. All the time knowing that it's just not a calculated risk. It is something that we know is given to us by the Lord. A directive by the Lord. Now, all these people put their faith on hold to a degree. And we move on through. If you get to Moses at the Red Sea, Moses is one of my favorite guys. He's just an honest guy. Moses is standing there at the Red Sea. Familiar with the story, right? Moses, not really, well, Moses was pretty confident. This is the guy, isn't that the guy that says, stand still because the Lord is going to fight for you today? Isn't that the same guy? But if you go a couple of verses later, you see Moses having a dialogue with God. And God says, or asks, Moses, what are you crying to me for? You're the guy with the stick. You're the guy with the rod. Put the rod in the water. I don't know what the old water thing is about these people, but is it a, you put the rod in. What are you crying for me for? Even good leaders and committed leaders can have a time when their faith goes on hold. Are you and I going to learn from these experiences? It's not an easy lesson to learn. Why cry to me, Moses? And then again, Moses finally does put the rod into the water. The water parts. Now, it's a flood stage. The water is piling up on the side of them. Joshua and Caleb taking the ark through. About a half of a meter. The water was standing up there. Same thing with Moses. The water parts and stays there, and stays there long enough for all the Israelites to get across, and then the party's over. And those people that you saw today, we'll see them no more. You cannot put your faith on hold. The Bible is very, very clear about these different circumstances. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and yet he just didn't really get it. Fast forward to the New Testament. Jesus tells it pretty straight. Go your way. Receive your sight. Everything is possible for one who believes. Can we do that? Is your faith at that point where it's not on hold and you are so confident in what God's promises bring to us that we can make those things happen under his guidance and under his power? You know, for us on faculty, we're not out in the churches dealing with people on a regular basis like we did when we were in the churches. Doesn't mean that we aren't engaged. It doesn't mean that we are irrelevant. It just means that this is our station at this time. But your turn is here. Your turn is not coming. Your turn is here. That's why we want you ministering now and starting to get your feet wet or step into the water to ankle deep or something like that, so that when the opportunities arise, you're going to be ready for them. So Jesus tells it like it is. Go your way. Receive your sight. Where are the other nine? Go show yourself to the priest. Ask anything, but ask not consuming it on your own lust. You know what? There's a verse in Mark, a little section in Mark, where Jesus is dialoguing with people, and a man comes along, and it's in Mark 9:23, and Jesus says, they bring this child to him, because the child is demon-possessed and things like that. And Jesus kind of just seems like nonchalant. The dad says, the spirit throws him to the ground. He's foaming at the mouth. All these sorts of things are happening. And Jesus says, well, how long has this been going on? Now, probably he didn't use that tone of voice, but just reading it that way, Jesus is having a conversation with the father, with the boy's father. So the dad's getting really, really impatient. A crowd is gathering, and Jesus is just talking to this guy, not really too concerned, apparently. So when the crowd starts to gather, Jesus says, enough, this is enough. And off they go. The healing takes place and happens. And then the disciples later on said, why could we not do it? Why could we not do that? You know why? Their faith was on hold. They didn't really get it. So you and I are going to face these two. The actual reference is Mark 9:23. He says, Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible for those who believe. And the guy says, I do believe, help my unbelief. Do you have the ability to do that? To help people work through their pain and their grief so that they can move forward to do what God is asking them to do. Now, just some examples. But you and I are on the hook for this. You and I need to understand that, especially if we're going to be called Pentecostals, we need to figure out just exactly where our faith is. It's not for show. It's not for anything else except for the glory of God. Can you do that? Can you be the person who is going to step into the water so that the waters part? Are you going to be the person who will be able to dialogue with that parent and say, I believe, but help my unbelief? And you can help work with them to bring about what God wants to happen. There's one other character that really strikes me, and that is Mary at the tomb. Mary, like most conscientious mothers, is coming back to the tomb, and we know that it was just her. The scripture says it was just her. The scripture says she was alone. And when she gets to the tomb, her faith is on hold. But Mary goes up, and there's someone there. And she perceives that it's the caretaker. Well, she dialogues with him and says, and asks, where have they taken him? And a little bit of a conversation takes place. And all of a sudden, Jesus does what? He says her name, Mary. And she understands immediately what's going on. Do you know that you can stand right in the middle, face to face, with your miracle and not even recognize that it's there? There's something about a mother's care and a mother's love that will push through everything else for the betterment of their children. And Mary standing right there We're standing face to face with her solution, and she can't even recognize it until he says her name. You need to hear the voice of God and hear his name calling to you. And when those days come, and they're coming, when it's difficult and there are no answers, and when there are no solutions, quick fixes, it's just going to be you and God. Are you going to be the person who is going to stand out of the crowd and tell and say in so many words, Lazarus, come forth. Mary, and she recognizes. And God is in the midst. Well, God is in the midst all the time. Right? That omnipresent doctrine thing? Sound familiar? The world is waiting for you to take the lead. Don't you shirk your responsibilities. Don't you put God on hold. Don't you put anybody else on hold. It doesn't matter to me whether we are in this facility or another facility. The Spirit of God is in every facility. It doesn't matter to me whether there's a big congregation, there's a little congregation. It doesn't matter because Jesus met the crowds, Jesus met the individuals, Jesus met his enemies, Jesus met anybody on their turf, on their terms, and came away with the answer. You can do this. So I don't want, you know, if you get discouraged and things like that, that's understandable. But I don't want CBC students who are going into ministry to have some sort of hesitation when you know exactly, here's what we need to do. That's why you're here. That's why this place is here. And regardless of where you and I go, regardless of what facilities you and I are part of, it's still the same gospel, folks. It's still the same Jesus. It's still the same message. And it's still the stinking, rotten world that we have to minister within. Don't put your faith on hold. Move forward. If you have to rest, rest for a little bit, but get back in there. How many people do you know that have made a similar commitment, and yet now they're off the radar, they're gone, they're nowhere in sight? Don't you be that way. God is counting on you. Don't put your faith on hold. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises that you have. We ask, Lord, that you would only help us to see the opportunities. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be aware of your presence. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.